The sermon series for December is The Road to Christmas. Today's reading is from the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, on page 58 in the New Testament Pew Bible or in your bulletin. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. The word of the Lord.
Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Our brand new sermon series is seasonally titled, The Road to Christmas. And so over the next 4 weeks, like an onion, we're going to peel back the layers, some of the bits and pieces of this story to explore some of the deeper angles of this great tradition story that we have and its application to our faith lives. The Christmas narrative begins by naming two prominent figures of that era. First of all, it announces Emperor Augustus. It says Emperor Augustus was the ruling emperor. He was the Caesar, which means that he was like the king over the whole world. Rome dominated the world during this particular time in history. And so he was like the president on steroids with no checks and balances. He was the man. He was the big dog. He reigned as the world's most powerful man from 27 BC all the way through 14 AD. That's 41 years of being on the throne. In addition to being king of the hill, it was believed that Caesars back in the day were also gods. And so for over four decades, this Caesar wielded a lot of power for a very long time. That was Caesar Augustus. The other character named in our Christmas story is Quirinius. And if you can't figure out how to pronounce his name, just go back to the Spurs right now, one of their great players, Quai. Just say Quirinius. Just say Quai. You know, Quai, the player on San Antonio. So Quai, Quirinius. And so the story says that Quai, or Quirinius, was the governor of Syria, which means that he had a special area that he ruled and governed over for the Roman Empire. On top of these two people being in the story, the ancient chronicles also record that Rome had a strong tradition of ordering population registrations. You know, our Christmas story says it well. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Again, this is a sign of the dominance of Rome and the authority of Caesar. They controlled the world during this time. Archaeological digs prove beyond question that these registrations happened regularly about every 14 years. So every 14 years, they took a registration of the population. As historians further delve into history, what they discover as they date these registrations, and they also date the birth of Jesus, they're able to sync these two together in that one of these registrations were going on in and around the time of Jesus' birth. So what, right? So why do we mention these things? Well, the significance of Caesar Augustus, the significance of Quirinius being named in the Christmas story, along with these registrations systematically being done and them seemingly falling at the time of Jesus' birth, what that says for us is that Jesus really happened. Jesus was really born on this earth, in that region, and on planet Earth. You know, for us as Christians, that might not be a big deal. But for a doubting world and searching souls, it says that our Savior was a real dude. He was really here in history, really born among us, really on this planet. That's big. That's big. So What? What does it mean for Jesus to be born really in our history at the time Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, this registration, what were they doing in this time and in this place? Well, the story says they came to Bethlehem, and our translation says they came there to be registered. Four times in five verses, the word register or registered is mentioned. I want to read the story to you again so you can pick up on this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be, say the word with me, registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. Now, the Bible translation that we here at Holy Ghost use, it's in your red pew Bible, it's the one that appears most times on the screen, is the New Revised Standard Version, the NRSV. And the NRSV is an excellent translation because it comes from the original New Testament Greek language. It is a very close translation of what was going on. One of the best of the best. It's not a translation from English into English, but it goes back to the original language, and it's one of the best that we have. And so this is a good translation. It uses the word registered. But I don't know if many of you recall, there's another version called the King James Version. Many of us grew up with the King James Version. And that too is a very good translation. A very close translation to the original Greek New Testament language. So a very faithful one. This is what the King James Version says. And it came to pass, in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. How many of you remember that translation from the good old days? Yeah? Again, that's a great, wonderful, faithful translation from the Greek New Testament language. But if we were also to go to another wonderful translation of the New Testament called the NIV, the New International Version, that's the one I use as a study Bible, it too being a very faithful translation, going back to the original Greek New Testament language and bringing that language into English, it says something different. It reads, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. We've got three different words, don't we? Three different words, and all of them come from faithful translations of the Old or the New Testament Greek language of the Bible into English. So which is it? Is it registered? Is it taxed? Or is it a census? Well, you know, you could say that all three kind of mean the same, you know? They kind of do. You know, if you go to count heads and take a census of people and they have to register who they are, maybe the ultimate goal is so that they can be taxed. A taxation occurs. And so there's a connection definitely between all of these. And yet at the same time, each one offers a unique angle at why Jesus came not just to Bethlehem, but came for the salvation of the world and you and I. So let's look at these three words and unpeel this onion this morning, okay? Let's first talk about census. A census is a survey, a counting of heads, a numbering of noses, if you will. A couple years after my dad retired, he became bored. He wanted to do something. He loved the public. He enjoyed hanging out with people. having conversations, having coffee. So guess what he did? He applied for a job with the U.S. government to be a Census Bureau taker, I guess what it is. And so in Georgetown, Texas, my dad went door to door, knocking on doors, ringing doorbells, and asking basic questions about that particular household, all in the hope of getting an accurate count of the people in each and every household. Jesus was born into this world to take account, to take a census of each and every one of us, because each and every one of us are valued, important, and redeemable by our God. Each and every one in this house and beyond this house, the one is so valuable. That's why we treasure the story of the lost son. That's why we cherish the story of the lost coin. That's why we celebrate the story of the lost sheep. Because Jesus values the one. God emphasizes each and every one of us being valued by God and desired by the Heavenly Father for each of us to be found in our darkness. And you know, each and every one of us goes through periods of darkness, don't we? That darkness can be sin. We have episodes of sin, but we also have seasons of sin. That darkness can be worry or fear or grief as well. Jesus came to touch each and every one of our lives. Yes, to save us from sin, to rescue us from hell, but also to give us the light that shines in our darkness for each and every one of us who struggle in this life, which would be all of us. So important we are to him that he even has a census of the hairs on our head. He even has a census that when a sparrow falls and dies, it does not happen without the Heavenly Father knowing that. If the Father cares for a sparrow in that way, so much so he cares for us in that way as well. Yes, Jesus came to number each and every one of us as his very own. Let's talk about taxes. Who wants to talk about taxes? A tax is, quote unquote, a mandatory financial charge or levy imposed upon a citizen by a governmental organization in order to fund various public expenditures. Who likes to pay taxes? Raise your hand. Who enjoys the amenities of taxes? Raise your hand. I should say so. A pastor friend of mine once said, I wish that I could pay $1 million in taxes. Well, you know, the front part of that story is, right? If you have to pay $1 million in taxes, you're knocking it down, right? You're bringing in at least $2 million. We pay taxes. And sometimes we feel like we pay taxes out the nose. There's property tax, sales tax, income tax, inheritance tax, estate tax, fuel tax, alcohol tax, tobacco tax, payroll tax. Maybe there's even taxes on our taxes. But it all reminds us that to live in a free country, it's not free. We pay for the amenities that we enjoy. How many of us enjoy military protection? Or quality schools? Or good roads? Or fire and police protection? And the list goes on and on and on. If we want to have a community with these kinds of services, we pay our dues. But it's the abuse, isn't it? It's the abuse, the bureaucracy, the overtaxation that often weighs us down, puts a bad taste in our mouth, and it can become even a financial burden. Jesus came into this world. He was born in Bethlehem to take on our burdens, to take on those places in our life where we feel taxed. Jesus journeyed to Bethlehem to be taxed for our spiritual weights and our burdens of our sin. Isaiah 53 prophesied, surely he has been borne of our infirmities. He has carried our diseases, and yet we account him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment made whole that makes us whole. and by his bruises we are healed. That doesn't sound like being taxed for us. I don't know what does. Then Jesus goes on to say, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, who are heavily taxed in this world, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and I will give you rest. Yes, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was born for me and you to take on the burden of our weak and sinful flesh, to be saddled then with the punishment on the cross that we should have deserved. Yeah, he came to be taxed in our stead. And number three, let's talk registration. The word carries a connotation with it, and that connotation is to sign up for something, to register for something, to be enrolled for something. When my kids played Little League, we had to register them to play the game. If your kids, grandkids want to go to college, they have to register in order to go to college in classes. They have to enroll. If you want to be part of the wellness center downtown here, you have to enlist, register for the program. So to register for something sort of opens the door for participation in these things. The holy couple journeyed to Bethlehem to register with Rome. And in doing so, they were buying into participating in a bigger plan of protection for themselves. That they were laying claim to some of the rights and privileges of being able to live in that land that was dominated by the Romans at the time. And so often it is, so often that when we register for something, it gets our foot in the door, offers us the opportunity to participate, and many times gives us the opportunity for special liberties and benefits. And this is the way that the world rolls. For individuals to register for something, to open the door to receive some benefits or privileges. This is the way the world operates. But it's not so with Jesus. It's more like the woman who loved dogs. She loves dogs so much that she had a whole backyard built as a kennel. She had dogs on the outside, she had dogs on the inside. And all these dogs were special breeds. They were pedigrees. They were blue ribbon canines. One day the woman walked out to the street to pick up her newspaper. And as she was out there, she sees this Heinz 57 straying up. And so with compassion in her heart, her love for dogs, she scoops this mongrel up, she bathes him, she takes him to the vet to get all of his shots. She brings him into the house, feeds him, and puts in their master bedroom. So can you just imagine? Can you imagine the response of the pure breeds? All the thoroughbreds threw their noses up in the air. They wondered why the master was welcoming the likes of such into her home. There was quite a bit of howling and growling going on in the mansion that night. Well, the next morning, there was these little pitty-patter of feet that were heard going down the upstairs to the downstairs, and it was the mutt, snuck downstairs, opened the door, out the door, around the corner, and gone. Well, the French poodle heard this, witnessed this, and woke all the others up and began yelping, "Ha, ha, ha, sacré bleu! I know this one was no good. Back to the alley he has gone." The Brittany spaniel yapped into there, "The bloody bloke, I knew he was no good." The German shepherd barked, "Ja, ja, he's ein Dummkopf, once a mutt, always a mutt." The pedigree chihuahua, the Irish setter, the dachshund, the Scottish terrier, all snarled their teeth in disgust. But about that time, they heard a woof. And lo and behold, down the street, here came the mutt with 50 other mutts in tow. God's house, the kingdom of God, Holy Ghost Lutheran Church, this table we call the Lord's table, is not just for registered people among us. It's not just for members only, nor is a place that we We lay claim to a special entitlement due to our heritage or our skin color, our political party, our sexual preference, or even our sense of morality. That's why we have the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. What an outcast she was. Five husbands, the one she's living with, not married to him as well. That's why we have the story of the rich young ruler. That's why Jesus called Zacchaeus the tax cheat. That's why he invited to ministry Mary Magdalene the prostitute. And then we have St. Paul the murderer, Peter the denier. He even includes mutts like you and me. You see, Jesus didn't just come for the shiny good people. He came for the dirty sinners. He came to cleanse our lives from that sin. He came to call us into a new life, yes. But that's why he says, I came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he says he did not come for those who are well, but for those who know that they need a doctor. Christ was born to fling wide the door and to say that you do not have to register to receive God's grace and mercy. God gives it by faith. Proper registration is not a prerequisite for entrance into the family of God. You are already his child. For you see, it's not we who register ourselves for sonship and for daughterhood with God. It is Christ. Christ who, according to the book of Revelation, registers us in the book of life by his very own blood written on the cross. So however you translate this text, census, taxes, registration, all apply. All applies to why Jesus came to that little town of Bethlehem and why he continues to come to you and me. Amen. Amen.